Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson, and joining me is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you doing?
I am doing pretty well today. It's been a good week. How about you?
You know, I've been passing my day by looking at memes about Bernie Sanders in his like frumpy coat at the inauguration, sitting grumpily in his chair, and that just getting like copy pasted in the most absurd things. And yeah. it's been pretty great.
That is definitely the the like
one of the high points of 2021 so far.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed just like all the like goofy crap that I keep seeing. My favorite one was the one where it zoomed, like he brought his mail to the inauguration, and so somebody zoomed in on it and photoshopped it, so it says plans to bring back Bionicles, and I was just like, oh my god, that's like Bionicle memes. I prefer over Dune memes, by the way.
Because
Dune is a quality product.
Okay.
And yeah. Bionicles are just like this weird Frankenstein kids property that like there's enough adults that used to play with them now that it's just pure shit posting. So
I just read a Bernie meme that Jake Tapper just tweeted out.
Okay.
Okay. So the caption of it is there's a lot going on here. And the main part of it is the screenshot of the second Borat movie where Rudy Giuliani is like laying on the bed and he says he's adjusting his shirt, but everyone else thinks something else is going on. And then Bernie Sanders is pasted behind the bed watching what's going on between the other two.
Oh my god. Oh god, that's great.
I think my favorite one is probably the like classical painting with them all in their classical poses, and then Bernie Sanders photoshopped in on that.
That is a really good one, yeah. What about, I mean, I like the one where he's in front of Gameopolis. Like,
That was pretty quality, yeah. One of our friends, so my store is Gameopolis, obviously. One of our friends photoshopped him from the street view image of Gameopolis and photoshopped Bernie Sanders on the street and said that Bernie Sanders was throwing a protest outside of Gameopolis. And I appreciated the effort. It was that was quality.
Yeah. Anyways, we got to watch WandaVision.
And we'll talk about that in the bonus episode.
Yes, so we will. I am holding my tongue. But,
smash the subscribe button on Patreon.
Yeah. Like and smash that subscribe button. Do we really say smash? Okay.
That's what all the internet geniuses say we're supposed to say, because it gets people to actually smash it. So.
Got it. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'll say it at the beginning and end every time. but yeah, so I'm excited. I'm excited for like everything Marvel's doing. So I got some A-Force games in this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm about I'm 6 games in total with A-Force right now.
And what's your review of A-Force so far?
A-Force is, I think, really good. I'm a big fan. It's almost like Asgard in that it's just Well, so there's these lists where, like, you play Asgard and you just don't attack unless you have to, because you're just trying to push off and score points. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're that good at this, at that, but no, it's just, it's, I feel like it's such a strong affiliation just because you can take so many fantastic characters.
Right.
The team tactics cards are good, and then we're just, like, we've got, it's She-Hulk. I really like She-Hulk as well. She's very cool.
So I'm not sure if you've responded to this on the Discord channel, which if you back our Patreon, you gain access to. But is there a fluff reason that you know of why Ghost Spider isn't on A-Force?
I have no idea why she isn't. My first thought was that I think they made a mistake and overlooked her, and she will be added later, is honestly like my... I did reply and I said that Ghost Spider is in some of the A-Force comics. And it's one of those teams that's like, it's almost like Defenders in the comics, where it's almost like a not team, where it's, but I don't know why. So I'm hoping they'll just add Ghost Spider, because with A-Force Assemble, I would really like every single character to be an A-Force member. And I really do like Ghost Spider in this a lot.
All right. Well, I guess anything else before we dive into our main episode?
No, I mean, we talked about Inhumans coming out in their date last time, I think. So, no, let's get into it.
Okay, so we are talking about Storm.
Yeah, and the comic we read is X-Men Worlds Apart, which is a 4-issue miniseries that was printed in 2008. So a little bit of backstory is just that Storm met Black Panther when they were like both teenagers, and then there was this kind of like romance story, and then they got married. And we've seen, like, the Black Panther comic we read was after they split up, so Storm wasn't in the Kote story we read about Black Panther, but this is Storm when she was kind of being more the Queen of Wakanda and less an X-Man, but she was still like popping up in comics when it was important enough, or if she, you know, if they really wanted Storm, she would travel and be with them. But most of the time Storm is in Wakanda, and so this is kind of a comic that represents that version of the character where she's in both. And so the story starts out with her and Cyclops going into the tunnels under New York City to find the Morlocks and help them. And then Cyclops attacks Storm, and she realizes that he's been taken over by the Shadow King. Now this is the Shadow King is, if you don't know, he's one of the X-Men's like most powerful enemies. He's basically a extremely powerful psychic parasite. Like, he doesn't even have a body anymore. He's just a insanely powerful psychic. He's also the main villain at the beginning of the show Legion. So that's kind of a cool, if you've seen Legion or if you're thinking about it, the Shadow King is a very important thing. It's almost like a force in that show at first, but it's very cool. So Storm basically realizes that... Oh, I think I'm misremembering this. So Cyclops heads off to go kill Emma. Storm leaves to go back to Wakanda, and she realizes that T'Challa is possessed by the Shadow King. And so she has to basically fight T'Challa to save this young Wakandan mutant. And then they have to prove that they are loyal to Wakanda while at the same time stopping Cyclops from going and murdering Emma Frost and the other X-Men. So there's a lot of like really cool showing what a strong warrior that T'Challa is. She staves off T'Challa without hurting him too badly. She flees. The Dora Milaje catch up with her, and she fights them mostly without using her powers. There's a bit where basically she knocks T'Challa out. And then takes him to the temple of the panther god Bast in order to ask Bast for help. And Bast there's like a whole army coming to kill Storm and or take her down, and Storm convinces Bast to like support her, and so there's a bunch of Panthers that come to Storm, proving that Bast has chosen her and wants the people to protect her. Before this, I did think it was interesting that like a lot of the Wakandans were like, now we get to kill you, you fucking mutant. Like, they were like, we're gonna murder you, you mutant scum.
Finally, we finally get to do what we
and I was like, man, all along. They've been holding some shitty feelings for Storm. So Storm basically is like, okay, drug T'Challa and don't let him wake up, and I'm gonna go do other things. And she summons an Earth-wide like wind tunnel that lets her jet from Africa to California, I think. I think he's going to California at this point, really quickly. And so it's like kind of this insanely cool thing. Oh, and I forgot to even say, earlier in the comic, she summoned a lightning storm accurate enough to knock Cyclops out of the sky in his jet. So, Jay, Storm
like that she's like, yeah, it's Scott. He'll be fine.
Yeah, she's like, he'll survive. He'll survive this. But yeah, so if you don't know, dear listeners, Storm is an insanely powerful mutant. So like, at no point was I like, oh, that's unbelievable. So Storm has been shown to basically have almost complete control of weather with no upper limits. That's what, if you ever hear someone say an Omega level mutant, it means they can control their one thing with no upper limit. Like, they can't not do something related to their thing. So Magneto is an Omega level mutant for magnetism. Storm is an Omega level mutant for this. And apparently she can sense shit across the world from like the air disturbances, I guess, and then hit it with a lightning bolt. So Storm basically like torpedoes her and her student, whose name is Nedzo, I think. And they basically get there, and Cyclops is fighting the X-Men, and it's not surprising that Cyclops can beat most of the X-Men, right? Like, he's got the element of surprise, they don't want to fight him, and he is a very effective and powerful warrior. So Storm gets there, and the Shadow King basically starts taking over all the X-Men one by one, and so Storm has to defeat almost all of them. And then she hits Cyclops with a lightning bolt to the heart, which kills him. And the Shadow King jumps into her mind. And you're like, oh no, Storm's going to get eaten by the Shadow King now. But she had Bast hide in her mind. And so the Panther Goddess Bast eats the Shadow King now that he's in Storm's mind. So that's how she defeated the Shadow King. And then she has a scene where she's basically, you know, giving Cyclops CPR to bring him back to life and wake him up and get his heart starting again. And at no point does she use like just a little bit of electricity, which might be cool and useful, but yeah. And so the end of the comic is basically, you know, Cyclops and T'Challa talking about how amazing she is and how Storm doesn't have to compromise because she's so awesome and incredible. She can be the Queen of Wakanda, and she can be an X-Men. And it's pretty cool. It's a pretty fun, like, Storm is awesome comic that took place at this point where she was still the Queen and, you know, kind of absent from the X-Men.
So I guess we have lots of things to discuss about this one. It was a fun arc. I guess one of my questions first off, some background with Storm. So I'm kind of curious, do they have any arcs? So she talks about, like, you know, once I was a thief, and then I was a goddess, and then I was an X-Men, and then I was, you know, the Queen of Wakanda.
Yeah.
So do they ever go into, do they have any like arcs that go into her being a thief or her being a goddess, or, you know, et cetera?
So when Professor X first recruited her, she was being worshipped by a tribe as basically a weather goddess. So sure. She's in the very first comic she appears in, that's what she's doing. There are arcs in Uncanny X-Men that kind of go into her background as a thief. And I can't think of any specific ones off the top of my head. But like the story where she first met Black Panther was like, he was exploring the world as a teenager and she was a pickpocket in Egypt, I think. And like that, they run into each other and they have an adventure as like teenagers. And that was kind of where the idea of them having like a little like early young adult romance that started. And then it wasn't until like 20 years that they started dating in the comic, I think. There, I do not know off the top of my head any comics that go deeper into that, but okay. That's actually a really fun question. I'm going to do some more research and I'm going to throw it up in the Discord, because I think that would actually be really cool.
Okay. The other thing is, usually we talk about this a little bit later, but, I mean, I guess we can maybe talk about one aspect that's usually towards the start. So let's talk about the creative team. Mm-hmm. Any notes on them?
Yes, I just need to pull up the names of the artist real quick, because I think Yost is the writer of this, and he is one of my favorite like early 2000s writers for Marvel. Yes, so Christopher Yost is the writer, and Christopher Yost is a pretty he's not like one of the best, but he's a pretty good one. He wrote a lot of fun X-Men and Wolverine and Spider-Man comics. This comic came out around the time I was working at comic shops through college. So that's one reason I like am aware of this. But for example, he wrote a lot of what was the Messiah Complex, which was like this huge thing. He wrote a lot of the like big events for X-Men for almost like 10 years, basically like in the 2000s. And he's one of those, he's hopped between Marvel and DC, but he's mostly an X-Men writer.
Okay. And any notes on the artist?
I am not familiar with the artist, Diogenes Nevis. And I don't have a lot of experience with them off the top of my head.
Okay.
They seem to be a good like Marvel style artist.
Right. Yeah.
But I guess
what were your thoughts on the art, if any?
I mean, I liked it. It had it wasn't amazing, but it was all good. It fit the style, like the costumes and everything from that time fit, and I think it was, if anything, like, I didn't love the shading. There were a lot of scenes where, like, human flesh was shiny, if that makes sense. And I think they were kind of going for, like, this really clean and beautiful look. But to me, it just was a little goofy.
I will confess, I had kind of a love-hate relationship with the art. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why is because... most of it, I do kind of like the style that the comic was in, but there were just a lot of scenes where Storm's outfit and the little bit that Emma Frost was her outfit as well, I just thought it was like super, super bad.
I mean, it's one of the main problems with like female comic book characters for... Yeah. Most of the history of comic books, like superhero comic books, is that, Storm, if you haven't read it, Storm is basically wearing knee-high boots, a one-piece swimsuit, and a cape. Like, that's her costume.
Uh-huh.
And it's not her best design. Like, it's, and Emma Frost is wearing her bondage gear, whatever, in the few pages she's in.
Right.
It's just, it's not the best. I don't have a problem with it. I think I might just be, it bothers me if I think about it, but it rolls right off my attention. Like, I'm just like,
in the parlance of my religious upbringing, it would say that you've been desensitized to this issue.
I mean, I think you're right though. Like that's the best term for it. I am desensitized to the comic book lady TNA.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Anyways, I guess that's kind of an evergreen complaint of mine, but
well,
we don't have to spend forever on that.
Oh yeah, it's not going to go away, Jay.
Yeah, well, and it does, at least on some of the comics and some of the characters, it seems like there's at least some improvement that's going on, so hopefully that continues. Mm-hmm. Okay, so why did you end up picking this arc? Are there very many storm arcs that would be considered like top tier arcs, or is she mostly like part of the X-Men ensemble, et cetera?
There's actually a lot of really good like best Storm arcs. I mostly picked this because of two big reasons. Number one, I wanted a comic that had Storm as the Wakanda leader and as an X-Men.
Okay.
And there's not many of those.
Okay.
Normally it's Storm as a side character for Black Panther, or Storm as, like at that time, Storm coming in and being a guest star in the X-Men comics.
Right.
There are a ton of great Storm comics. A lot of them are from that era that we read last time for the like 80s and 90s. There was a time where Storm lost her powers, beat up Cyclops to become the leader of the X-Men, and then was just a badass with no powers leading the X-Men, and everybody was like, yeah, that's fine, Storm's doing a good job. There are comics where Storm becomes a vampire because Dracula's trying to like turn her, but that's kind of a different era. And I wanted to kind of mix it up. Like, if you read my four X-Men comics that we've done so far, I want you to like get a bigger picture and to like see more of what it is.
Okay.
Also, I read this when I was working at a comic shop, and I remember it, and I was like, that was a good Storm comic.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Any additional background to go over about Storm?
So I think just like, the comic does a halfway decent job of it, but, you know, like, Cyclops, one of the things Cyclops says is, like, you lost your powers and beat me, and now I'm gonna return the favor, and she talks a lot about, like, you know, I was a thief, I was a goddess, I think they did a decent job giving Storm, like, backstory here, so I don't think you need as much backstory here, but I will say that, recently, it's interesting that Storm and T'Challa got divorced, but they are still on again, off again lovers, and they still have like this really cool relationship. And so, if you're like reading the newer stuff, it's you just need to know that like it didn't work out, but she's still like important in Wakanda.
It didn't work out. Sad.
It's comics. In a year, they might be back together.
That's true. They call her by her first name very often in most comics. They say Storm.
They usually call her Aurora. She's one of those characters that is like Logan. It's very common for her to be called Aurora.
Okay. Who did you end up thinking were the main characters in this arc?
I think, so I pulled up his name, it's Nesno, was a supporting character, but so the main characters were Storm, Cyclops, T'Challa, and the Shadow King.
Okay.
Pretty safely, right?
Okay, sure.
And then we had Nesno as a supporting character through the whole comic. I wouldn't say anybody else gets to be supporting.
What did you think of the main characters in this arc?
I mean, I think a lot of it was just allowing Storm to be amazing. So it was a little like propping her up. But I think it was nice to see characters that we know don't act like petty and violent for no reason, acting differently. And I think they did a pretty cool job of showing like Storm having to be able to fight off these amazing warriors while they're saying like true but unsaid truths, right? Like, or negatives. So like T'Challa talks about how she's, you know, maybe not fully given herself to Wakanda, and how he can't trust her because she has divided loyalties and he's a king. And Cyclops talks about, like, and the X-Men talk about how Storm has abandoned them and let them go through hardships because she wasn't there to stand with them. And so you get to see some of the, like, negativity that these strong characters who usually wouldn't express that to her. And I thought they did a really good job of showing how these characters care for each other through them, like, struggling with the Shadow King and fighting Storm. I think it was a little bit of a fluff piece for Storm, but I liked it, and I thought that did a pretty good job.
I think one of the things that, one of the aspects of it that I liked the best of the story was kind of the Shadow King saying, and I mean, I guess on part of it, who knows if he was lying or if this was actually true or not, but I kind of liked the theme or aspect of it where he was saying that, you know, I'm just bringing to light what people are already feeling or, you know, accentuating what they already think. And I kind of liked that take on it because, any time you have a story that's about divided loyalties or stuff like that, something like that's obviously a really good way to sow dissension or mistrust amongst the different characters, which I think is something that can be an interesting part of a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was cool to see that and to, I don't know, I thought Storm was a little bit stoic about everything, but I really did enjoy, like you said, the divided loyalty was a main part, so that was cool.
It was also cool seeing her showcase so many of her powers, whether, you know, big and small, whether it was like the worldwide wind tunnel or changing the air pressure in someone's ear or changing the temperature on someone's gun to where it's not working.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
And they're gonna have to have like skin grafts.
Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool.
So yeah, it was also interesting on the one where she made like the worldwide wind tunnel. She basically, like, at no point was she like, I don't like doing this because it's so hard, or, et cetera. It was more like, I don't like doing this because it can just have so many, like, repercussions or throughout the world. And so I thought that was fun or interesting as well.
Yeah, and it really does, like, it does a good job of representing Storm as I've usually seen her, right? And, like, I talked before about Kitty Pryde is the perspective character. And Storm, it was always, like, the teacher for Kitty Pryde, right? Like, Storm taught Kitty how to be a young woman and how to be a warrior and a leader. And Storm has always kind of been this, like, role model type of character.
Well, there was one part where I think it was Storm and T'Challa that were talking with each other while T'Challa was mind-controlled. And there was something about one of them blaming the other with something with Kitty Pryde, I think.
Oh, that, let's see, if it was in 2000, that might be Kitty Pryde's death that they're talking about.
Yeah, it seemed like it was likely related to, like, her being dead or something like that. Yeah,
because this was 2008, and I think that would have been, so the comic we started, Astonishing X-Men, it eventually leads to, Kitty Pryde dies in that comic, and it's a big, very important event. So they're probably talking about that and how Storm blames herself for losing Kitty.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was interesting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any other thoughts on any of the other main characters in the arc?
I know almost nothing about Nezno. When I pulled up some info about him, he's like still in comics. He hasn't like disappeared. It's like a character I've never really been super familiar with.
Yeah.
And like he's got those vibranium tattoos, and then he can power up and become like super strong. So that's kind of cool. But I just thought that was a really strange like new character to me. But he's apparently been around like as a supporting X-Men character for a long time.
Okay.
So I was interested in learning more about that character after.
So next question. Any supporting characters?
I mean, I guess Nezno was the one, but yeah. I don't think anyone else should classify. I mean, maybe you could say the Shadow King was almost absent. I really like the Shadow King as a villain just because he's way too powerful. He's a psychic who just doesn't struggle to take over and stuff. So, I would like, I don't know, if you're interested in like the Shadow King as a horror character, I actually really do think watching the first season of Legion is like the best way to see it.
I'll have to try that out. It's one that I seem to remember I bought like the on like a Black Friday a while ago. I bought the streaming rights to the first season and watched the pilot and then never continued on. And I need to get back and actually watch the whole series. Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question that this is more, I guess, X-Men or mutant involved. Mm-hmm. And I've never really questioned this because I guess I've just been kind of exposed to or taught the or watched when I've read the movies or read the comics. This is just how it's portrayed, and so you know that is how it is. But like if you think about someone getting a mutation, it would be like okay, their skin's a funny color or whatever. But there's like it seems kind of strange to me that it almost feels like they're saying mutation. It almost goes over into the realm of being magic because like I can't think of any mutation that an entity could have that would give them control over the weather.
Uh huh.
And I guess I don't really understand like in the Marvel universe. Like why are mutants that much different than other superheroes or et cetera, right?
Yeah.
Other than people hate mutants don't really know why.
The struggle you're having right now, Jay, is one that I cannot resolve.
Okay.
I have never really got mutants don't make sense in the main Marvel universe so many reasons. And like the other one is like, at one point, mutants founded their own country called Genosha, and it was this incredibly advanced country. And then there was a massive worldwide Sentinel attack that killed, I think it was like 30 million mutants. Like, it was an insane number. Like, they had a full country that was massacred. And you're just like, was S.H.I.E.L.D. in on it? Did the Avengers help? Like, how did this happen without anyone like noticing or stopping it? Marvel has a problem with the X-Men where so often they don't fit because again, right? Like you're like, why would you trust Spider-Man if you hated mutants? You would just be like, that's a fucking mutant right there. I hate him. You know, like there should be more prejudice against all superheroes if there's anti-mutant. And like what makes them different, right?
Right.
Why are some characters and then there's like the stuff where it's like, oh, well, everybody loves the Avengers, but they always pick up mutants. So like, are the anti-mutant terrorists going to attack the Avengers as well? It's just one of those things, Jay. And yes, mutant powers are magic. That is pretty much. Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, I mean, it basically seems like that is the case. So
yeah, it's funny because the Inhumans are like almost the same thing, but because aliens messed with their genetics, it makes more sense because you're just like, oh, aliens did it. Like, that's why they're all living weapons. Yeah. Like, this is just like, yeah, no, some people just are born with like fish body parts.
You're like, yeah, it's just kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of like some of the non X-Men that have just like strange powers.
Non-X-Men?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess some of them, like, say the Fantastic Four, or I guess Incredible Hulk, is like, oh, you're exposed to radiation, and then you gain these powers, but That's obviously different than a mutation because reasons and, you know, anyways. That was my, I guess, my digression slash question that evidently does not really have an answer.
It really doesn't. It's just one of the mutants are like inconsistent as well in their own like time, in their own like power levels and like consistency. And it's very random.
Well, it also, I mean, around when would you say the X-Men started being drawn?
Early 70s is off the top of my head.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it feels...
I'm sorry, early 60s.
Okay. That's more what I was guessing or thinking. But it seems like stuff from that era, like the things that they thought science would end up doing or their understanding of science, we've just progressed a fair bit since then. And so that might have a little bit to do with it as well. I don't know. But
yeah.
All right. So... anyone that you would like to see in the MCU?
I think of all of them, I want Storm to be in the MCU. Like, and they could even put her in without the X-Men. You just say she's a weather goddess in Africa. Like, figure out a way to use her.
It's too bad that we're not going to see like her and T'Challa
get
in the relationship in the MCU.
Yeah, it. I mean, of all the storylines that we lost, that one is like one of my favorites because it really personalizes him by it gives him like that what is it that like it makes him so much more human to have a love interest that is his equal in so many ways. Because I mean, so often when like Clark Kent and Lois Lane are never equals,
right?
It makes Clark Kent.
Weird dynamic.
It turns Lois Lane into like almost a weakness for Clark Kent.
Right. Yeah.
And so this is like.
She's always the damsel in distress.
Yeah, and this is almost the opposite, right? Storm is way more powerful than T'Challa, like in terms of like what she can do with her personal strength.
Right.
Yeah. So I would want Storm. Who would be like just the perfect casting for Storm? Oh. What about the woman from Watchmen?
Oh, that could be good, yeah.
What was her name? Regina
also,
King.
Yeah. She's also in... I talked to you a little bit about The Leftovers. She's in Serps in the second season.
Oh, cool. Nice. Michelle Obama. The only reason I thought of that is because there was a meme about how Michelle Obama looked like Regina King's character in Watchmen.
So one of the things we're doing on Chain Attack, just a real quick side diversion, I guess this can be some cross promotion as well. Check out Chain Attack. We're just about to start. We're making like this bracket challenge that we're talking about on the show. And so the first 16 that we're doing is geek, movies and TV shows. And like, I didn't even bother suggesting the Watchmen TV show because I knew my two co-hosts hadn't watched it yet.
Oh.
But it's really high up there on my list of geek TV and movie shows.
They did
a really, really good job.
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite pieces, like TV shows recent. It's so good.
Yeah, I will agree. How are you hoping that the X-Men get introduced into the MCU, and
I hope it's an alternate universe. I hope that in the Doctor Strange movie and in WandaVision, they just set up that there are multiple universes that are easy to move between. And I hope that they just introduce a brand new X-Men. What I'm really hoping for is that we build towards a, like a crossover universe event, like an Avengers versus X-Men, as a like interdimensional battle that has to be fought.
In your opinion, what's the advantage of them being from a different dimension as opposed to the one that things have been currently happening?
So I think so much of the X-Men's like everything relies on a racism against mutants. that mutants are like the natural evolution of mankind, but they're also seen as like they're gonna replace humans. But like the other part is that there have been mutants on Earth for a long time, and for example, like you probably don't want to introduce Magneto that wasn't present at the Holocaust.
Right.
And so like when I'm looking at all of these things, I'm just like, I don't see how you can do that in the MCU. But if there was another planet where it was more just like our reality, but with mutants, I could see people being like, hell no, I don't want to let Iceman go to school with my kids, you know? I think that's going to be what happens, that it's an alternate reality where the X-Men live.
Okay. Was there anything that didn't work for you in the comic?
Yeah, like Storm didn't use her powers to revive Cyclops. That's like the one thing I was like, that seems like an easy one too.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Like
she's beating on his chest.
Right? She was like, her hands are all the way up in the air and she's just like pounding on his chest, and it's like, give him a little zip, you know, like just poke him, give him a little lightning. She can do it. She has extreme control over her powers. Overall, though, I really liked it. I don't think there was anything I didn't like. Like, if I had to grade it, it'd be like a solid B+.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's the weaknesses of the story I've kind of already talked on, where it's very clear that this whole story is just, it's about Storm and how awesome she is and confident and how she can, you know, outthink a psychic, and she can fight all these powerful people, and she's, you know, she's really great. And that's kind of what this story is, but that's not a bad thing, but it's also kind of the weakness of the story.
I think that most of my issues with it, I'd probably agree with you with the assessment of it as far as like a letter grade with it. Beyond like the Storm and Emma Frost art that bug me at points. There are also some points where, and granted, I haven't read as much of T'Challa or some of the other characters, but it seemed like just the way that they drew him was kind of weird in this arc compared to like the arcs that we read, or the way he's in the movie or stuff like that. And so I didn't feel like his character arc necessarily fit as well as in some of the other stuff I'd been familiar with.
Okay. Was it just the costume is different, or do you think it's actually?
I think it was more his facial features.
Okay. Like at the end where he's in bed with Storm.
No, like there's parts where like he's under the control of the Shadow King. Is that the?
Yeah.
And they're like, him and Storm are talking with each other, and I thought that he just kind of looked strange. But...
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair.
All right, but overall, this gets thumbs up from us.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was fun.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, well, what is the next character / arc that we're going to be covering?
So continuing the X-Men Brotherhood journey, we're going to be reading a comic just called Logan from 2008. And it's a 3-issue miniseries by Brian K. Vaughan. So should be very exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay tuned to that. And thank you, everyone, who has been supporting the podcast. And stay tuned. We'll be talking about Storm in the Miniatures Game here in the bonus episode.
Thank you. Like and subscribe.
Smash that subscribe button.
Sick. Smash that button, boys.